Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanis.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. My name is Dan Schaefer, and I'm thrilled to bring another episode of Fellowship Talks today. Thank you for joining us from wherever you are, whether you're part of our Fellowship Bible Church church body, or you're from somewhere else in the U.S. or around the world. We'd love to have you listen in with us as we share stories from our church. I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Amy Scrivanis.
Hey, everyone.
Amy, great to be with you today.
Yeah.
Good morning, and we're going to have a great podcast today.
We really are. I'm looking forward to it.
So if this is your first time listening to Fellowship Talks, we just want to say welcome to you. Thank you for listening to us. Thanks for finding us. We really build this podcast to proclaim and share stories of what God is doing in our church here in Central Arkansas around our five campuses. But we want people to hear these stories and just to be in awe of who our God is and how he's working through his people. And so that's why we have this podcast. And if you've been listening for a while and you enjoy the podcast, please go to iTunes and just give us a 5-star rating on there. Leave your comments. And we need to know that people are listening, and we want to get your ratings there. So thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast and giving us a good rating there on iTunes. Well, Amy, it is launch season for some new classes in January here. It's the new year. Happy 2020.
That's right. Hard to believe.
Yeah, that's kind of strange to say.
2020?
How many hindsight 2020 jokes are there going to be this year?
So true.
Yeah, it's 2020,
you know? That's right.
It's all about 2020.
Yeah.
So here at Fellowship, that means that we have all kinds of ways for people to connect with our church body. We have D groups. We have men's classes, women's classes. We have our midweek classes on Wednesdays all around our campuses. We have different ways to connect, and we want to invite you to connect with us. Maybe you aren't super connected here at Fellowship and you've only kind of dabbled in some of coming to our worship services or mm-hmm. something like that, but come be a part of us, connect with us.
And it really is a good time to jump in. Mm-hmm. I think, beginning of the year, even the studies that are going all year long or the groups that are going all year long, January is a time of reset for a lot of those groups or studies. They might be starting a new study. We have some new things being offered that weren't offered in the fall. Mm-hmm. And so if you are looking to connect, this really is a good time to jump in.
That's right. That's right. And Amy, today, one of those classes, it's being offered on the West Little Rock campus, but one of those classes is led by one of our members here on the West Little Rock campus, Linda Slayton. And Linda's here with us on the podcast today just to let us get to know her. She's been a longtime member here at the West Little Rock campus, and we want people to get to know her and just kind of what God's been doing through her in her time here. So Linda, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome, Linda.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Can you tell us a little bit more about who you are, maybe introduce your family a little bit?
Yes. I am the wife of a wonderful man named Dave, and we have four children.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, hello, Dave. And he has two children, so together we have six. And we have 10 grandchildren. Soon we will have 12.
Wow.
So we're real excited about that. Two new babies coming in January.
So that holiday season that we just got through had to be a whirlwind for your family.
It always is.
It always is.
But it's my favorite thing in the world to do is get my family together.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of who I am. I always wanted to be a mother, and I always wanted four. And I was blessed with four. And I know not everyone gets what she wants in that category. So yeah. I always thought I'd have girls, but I had three boys and then my girl. But I'll take it. Boys are great.
Oh, that's great. So tell us how long you've been at Fellowship and kind of what your involvement has been here over the years.
Wow, let's see. Since January 1984. So what is that? 36 years?
Oh, gosh, I'm terrible at math.
Is that right? It's a long time.
That sounds right.
Yeah. 36 years.
We'll go with
36
that.
Years at Fellowship.
Yeah.
That was the year I was born, Linda.
Really? Oh, yeah. Dear. That's telling on me. And did you ask me how I got here?
I would love Fellowship? To hear how you got here.
Well, it was interesting. We moved here from El Dorado. And before we moved here, we inquired of a lot of people, where should we go to church in Little Rock? And everyone sort of landed on three names, three churches, and we decided to go to Fellowship Bible Church first, and we never went to any others. We came in early, maybe the first Sunday in January of 84, and never visited the other two.
So you just knew instantly this is where you wanted to be.
We were in the movie theater then.
Uh-huh.
You'd walk in on Sunday morning smelling popcorn.
This was Breckenridge Movie Theater?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that was many moons ago, but we've been here all these years.
What was it that captured you guys there in the first couple
Sundays? Honestly, the worship. Alan Mesko, the worship. And I believe Robert Lewis spoke that day, and Dave and I looked at each other and said, well, this is it. We're not going anywhere else.
Yeah.
And we've been all here all these years.
So 36 years here. So what has been your involvement here at Fellowship?
Well, a lot of areas I've served in, starting out in the Learning Center. We called it the Learning Center back then.
Which is our Fellowship Kids today.
Fellowship Kids. Mm-hmm. And then very quickly moved into women's ministry as a lay leader. Then, over the years, I've been on staff a total of 10 years in two different departments, one in the media department, communications, and 6 or 7 years in missions most recently. I came off of staff, I believe, in 2014. I believe it was 2014 or 2015. I can't remember. I can't keep up. But I've always been a lay leader as well. So I've played, had worn many, many hats here.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's so great.
So currently you're leading a class called Embracing Purpose, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that's one of our offerings on Wednesday night as part of Midweek on the West Little Rock campus.
Yes, Wednesday night and Thursday morning. We'll be starting in real soon here. I've been doing this now for 16 years. I wrote the book years ago. I wrote the study for women years ago, entitled it Woman on a Mission. And it was a study designed to help women find their God-given purpose, because I had found mine. And so I wrote this study at God's urging, and never dreamed I would still be doing it all these years later. So it's designed to help women, I like to say, get out of their seats and into the streets and serve either the church or the community in a very intentional, purposeful way, in a way that makes their heart sing, and in a way that brings great glory to God.
Now, you said you wrote this study.
Yes, I did.
What prompted you to write a study? Did somebody ask you to do it, or is it something that God was putting on your heart?
Well, I feel like God asked me to do it, and it just came as a result of my journey. I had been in a place of serving in fellowship for a very long time, and then I stopped serving in the women's ministry and took a job on staff at Fellowship. And because I had four children working part-time, I no longer was able to teach in women's ministry. Something had to go. So I gave up that to serve on staff for 3 years and became increasingly dissatisfied. I loved working on staff, loved my team, loved everybody here. But the fit, it wasn't a good fit as project manager in the media department. So struggling in what I now think of as failure to thrive, and yet mature in my belief as a woman, as a Christian, I was failing to thrive and thinking, where is the abundant life that Jesus came to give? Because I am doing all I know to do, being all I know to be as a Christian woman, a Christ follower, and yet I was not feeling that satisfaction, that fulfillment that I felt like God wanted me to have. And I was scratching my head and saying, what is going on here? So I sort of dived into a self-discovery journey to figure out what I finally realized was I lacked purpose. I did not know specifically where God wanted me. And that prompted me to really start doing a lot of research, talking to people, reading every book I could find. And it ended in my figuring out what my purpose was.
And how many years ago did you write this or begin this?
I started in 2005.
Okay.
Or maybe four. right around there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been a regular class ever since here at Fellowship. In fact, it's starting next week, January 15th, and it's going to run through the beginning parts of March for the next offering here. So if you're interested in connecting with Linda and Embracing Purpose, that's a great class to check out. And it is just for women.
Yes, it's for women.
It's geared towards women. It's written for
women. And I'm excited
women.
That we offer both a night class and a day class to accommodate women's schedules.
Wednesday evening, Thursday mornings.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Linda, do you have some stories you could share with us just from over the years of the impact that Embracing Purpose has made in the lives of the women that have gone through this course?
Yeah. Good question, Amy.
I love that question because, yes, I do. One of the very first ministry efforts to come out of Embracing Purpose, or then Woman on a Mission, was Kingdom Quilters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a group of women who took their hobby and let God use it to bless others. So they started out, and it's an interesting story how this happened, but started out making lap quilts for, I think it was 17 counties in Arkansas, for hospice patients of all ages, not just the elderly. There are some children in hospice, but they started making lap quilts. And they've been doing it now for, I don't know, 9 years, 10 years, and have made over 1,000 lap quilts. They've given them to veterans and the gravely ill of all ages. And God has really used that. And it's built a real community around a hobby that a lot of women have. In fact, several people have come to the Lord through this ministry of Kingdom Quilters.
Wow.
Run by Elaine Green. And I just love it. Mm. I love that ministry.
That's neat. Yeah, I've seen the ladies coming up here. Do they still meet here at the church? And
yes, and sew together.
Yes.
And
so
wrap
that,
the
there's
quilts.
Community just there of them working together on this. And
yeah.
So that's really neat.
And we never saw that coming. Another one I love to tell people about is Laurie Currier. Laurie was working at Pulaski Academy in some admin job. She wasn't a teacher, but she was in some administrative position. And she received an invitation from me through the mail because our kids were friends and I sort of knew Laurie. Sent her an invitation through the mail to join the first Woman on a Mission class. And she decided to come to that and ended up, as a result of this class, where we connect the dots of our lives to try to figure out how God wired us.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about your past and your family and your wounds and what you enjoy doing and what you don't and so forth. It's a real self-discovery process. And at the same time that that Laurie was taking the class, her father was dying of cancer.
Mm.
And he died very soon after the class finished. And what she discovered about herself through that journey of self-discovery was her father was at two orphaned with all of his siblings, like five or six siblings. And he was adopted by first fostered and then adopted by a wonderful Christian family. And he went on to become a very renowned physician and, according to Laurie, the best father and husband on the planet. And through Woman on a Mission, Laurie said her purpose was somehow to serve the fatherless and to honor her father's legacy. And so she now is statewide director of The Call that serves that very community. Started out very part-time and then went on to be the statewide director. So I feel like she's a poster child for Embracing Purpose. As is Elaine Green with Kingdom Quilters. And there are many others.
And The Call is a statewide organization equipping and training families to invest in foster care.
Yes.
In this state.
Yes.
Yeah, it impacted hundreds and thousands
and
of people
thousands.
In this state. Yeah.
It's amazing. And Laurie is a shining example of a woman who discovers her purpose and it just lights her inner fire.
I love that. And think, too, I love hearing the way that it brings together not only how God designed you, but what He's already been doing in your life.
Yes.
And so she already had this history from her family of what God was doing in her heart and in her life that she could then put to work for Him and for His glory.
Right.
And so that's really amazing. Linda, another story that I personally am aware of and connected with is Annie Sengoga in Rwanda.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about kind of what happened with her as she encountered you and your class during her time here? As we've talked before on the podcast, those of you that have listened to the episodes know that Annie and her husband Joel came here to do the Fellowship Associates residency. And so while Joel was doing that, Annie took Linda's class, Embracing Purpose. And right. So, Linda, you want to talk some about that and kind of what came out of that?
Yes, I'd love to. I just adore Annie and Joel. I was serving at the time on the mission in the missions department, and I'd been hearing about this couple, mainly about Joel and all the wonderful work they were doing in Rwanda. And then I learned that Annie and Joel and their family were coming here for a year. And I thought, well, I've just got to meet this couple. And we had them over for dinner and heard Joel's story and Annie's story. And I shared, of course, with Annie about Embracing Purpose. And, oh, by the way, we've got a class starting up, and you should so join us. And she right. said, I want to do that. So she joined the class. She was in my small group. And, wow, fell in love with her. Mm-hmm. Such an amazing woman. And then one of the things we did when she was in town, my daughter-in-law was hosting a at-home party for a nonprofit that was selling jewelry made by women in, I believe, Uganda or somewhere, and how they were, it was a little cottage industry to mm-hmm. raise money for those people. And I called Annie one day and said, come go with me. You've got to go to this. This will be fun. So I picked her up and we went together, and she walked out of there with her eyes as big as saucers saying, oh my gosh, I never even thought about doing this. And it's opened my eyes, and oh, I'm going to take this kind of, this idea home. Mm-hmm. And, from there, many know she has indeed led women in many pursuits in cottage industries to empower women and provide for their families back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rwanda. It really is incredible. As I've visited Rwanda to see the impact, and I've told Linda this, but the impact that Embracing Purpose made on one woman.
Yes.
And how she has now impacted all of these other women in Rwanda, and they even know the name Embracing Purpose because she has shared with them.
Well, she led about five or six women through Embracing Purpose after leaving here. You know, she just copied my book with permission and led her women through the book, and she even sent me a couple of snapshots of her group holding the book and going through the study, and I was like, oh my gosh. It's in Rwanda now.
I know. I think that's just incredible that the Lord is really stretching the boundaries of that and allowing it to impact women really across the world now.
Right.
And Annie has taken that, and she has such a heart for, especially for single mothers.
Yes.
And done all these soap making, jewelry making.
Sewing.
They've gotten into where they're doing some baking and providing meals for children during the day. It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I think that's the beauty of seeing what we can do when we see our God-given purpose.
Yes. And that's a perfect example. Really, these three women, Elaine with her hobby, Laurie with a passion to honor her father's legacy, and Annie with a passion to help the people in her neighborhood, her corner of the world. And that is a perfect picture of what I envisioned early on when I felt God tugging at me. You know, other women need to discover what you have discovered, Linda. You need to write that study and to see one woman then go out with her gifts that we think maybe are no big deal. How can God use my little gifts? And they have impact, like this ripple effect, all over their own little corners of the world. And that's what thrills my heart so much.
Well, that's what I'm glad that you're here just telling us a little bit more about a story of what God's done through you here at Fellowship, because you wrote this study based on God's leading 15 years ago, and you had no idea where it was going to go, right?
But no, I had no idea.
And we didn't know each other. And I'm sitting here thinking of how your study has impacted me with the how it's impacted the call, and our family has adopted through the call and worked with the call. And I'm thinking of our sound engineer, Dave. His family's been involved with the call. And my wife's wearing earrings that were made by Annie and some of the other pastors' wives in Rwanda, and just thinking about how your study has impacted other women, and it's even impacted me sitting here.
That's
really
neat.
Cool.
What a great thought.
That really is.
And I'm sure people listening have their own connections based on what you did in obedience and the story that you've let God live out.
Linda, one of the things that I think is really cool is that you have now taken Embracing Purpose into the prisons. And so I know this summer you recorded even a recording of Embracing Purpose for the prison ministry. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how you transitioned this into a study for women in prison?
Yeah, I never saw that coming. I was on staff here at Fellowship in the Missions Department, and Paul Chapman was my overseer in that department, and he was very involved in prison ministry, men's prison ministry. And through his connections with people in that world, higher ups in the Department of Corrections, he was asked the question, do you have something for women? And he said to the program, statewide program director at the time, you need to talk to Linda Slayton, because he had seen the impact that Embracing Purpose had had here at Fellowship and how women had embraced their purpose as a result of having gone through the class. And he said, you need to talk to Linda Slayton. Well, I met with the director, and I thought, at first I thought, I can't see this working in a prison. That was never my vision. But I said, sure, I'll meet with her. And so we met, and I just started off the conversation by saying, what do you want for your women? What do you want? And she thought a minute and said, I want them to know they're not losers. And I said, oh, well, then we should talk. Because I will tell you this, when women go through this class, they discover they have great value to the king and to the kingdom. They see they have great value. And frankly, women don't know that oftentimes. And I'll bet you anything, women in prison don't know that. Or Dr. Hooker wouldn't be saying, I want them to know they're not losers. So I said, well, let's talk and see if this might work. Long story short, that was, I think, 10 years ago. And we've been first in one prison and then another. And even it's gone to other states. We're now doing Embracing Purpose in Atlanta. It's been used in a Topeka, Kansas prison. We've been in now three jails. I never saw that on the horizon.
So, Linda, when you have women who are incarcerated, they don't have the freedom to just go and do things. How do you bring Embracing Purpose there? Like, what adjustments did you have to make, maybe in the way you talk about our purpose in light of not having freedom to pursue things?
Right. And you're right. It presented many challenges to me. We had to tweak it and adjust it to fit this population. But what I know, and what I'm sure you probably realize if you stop and think about it, is that no matter who you are or where you are, God has called us all to a purpose, to serve Him and to bring Him glory by the way that we live our lives, wherever we live out our lives, whether we're in Rwanda or the prison or in, you know, a West Little Rock church. So we adapted it to fit. In fact, this was interesting to me. For years, my prison leaders begged me to write a prison edition, because what we found was we were having to, you know, sort of cut up the workbook and say, okay, don't do this section or this section because it doesn't apply to you. Leave out this, that, and the other. And then we would add a little bit of something else. So my leaders really urged me to write a prison edition. I didn't want to do it. It was a lot of work. didn't feel called to do it until finally some circumstances happened that I just knew God wanted me to write a prison edition, which I completed, what is this, January 2020. I completed about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've edited and edited and edited again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So completed is a loose word. And then we did a 10-message video series we taped in August. So now we have a complete package of the prison edition, which I have titled Embracing Purpose on the Inside and Beyond.
Mm.
So I've really had to immerse myself in it at God's urging. I mean, there's actually been, I mean, I'd love to tell you about a miracle.
Please do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love, because it is. It is a miracle.
Mm.
Our prison, we called it Our Prison, was in Pine Bluff. So each week, our leader team would carpool down to Pine Bluff and back, you know, for the 11 weeks that is required for the class. And then, lo and behold, our prison moved. The whole campus moved because the facilities were becoming very dilapidated and need a lot of work.
Okay.
So the whole thing moved to West Memphis, which was more than 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
To an abandoned hospital. And we were, our leaders were like, what? You're taking our prison away? How can you do this to us? And many of the staff at that prison moved with, you know, moved as well. And they wanted us to continue being an offering that they offered to the women there at this unit. And yet, I didn't know anybody in West Memphis. And we need leaders. We can't drive back and forth 2 hour trip each week, obviously. And for over a year, maybe like a year and a half, I beat the bushes. I got on social media. I talked to everybody I knew. Who do you know in West Memphis who might be interested in prison ministry? Just talked and talked. Could not find them. And I was very frustrated. And one day I was home alone, sort of not working, and just said, not so much to the Lord, but to myself, I just kept thinking, you know, those doors are wide open in that unit in West Memphis for us to do Embracing Purpose. And Lord, I know you want to bless these women with Embracing Purpose, but I can't find leaders. I don't know what you want me to do. I've done everything I know to do. I was just sort of just, you know, thinking about this and sort of talking to the Lord. And then the thought occurred to me, well, you could just start cold calling all the churches in West Memphis. I thought, cold call churches, and went, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get cold calls, and I don't want to be a one who gives cold
Way
calls.
Way outside your comfort zone.
I did not want to do that. And then I thought, how hard can that be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll make 10 phone calls. Got online, tried to find, you know, look at churches. Up popped First Baptist. I thought, you know, well, they look like a good church. I grew up Baptist. I'll call the Baptist church. There were no non-denominational churches in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I pick up the phone. I call. Receptionist answers. Hello. I said, well, this is a cold call. And she just chuckled. And I said, yes, it is. I'm Linda Slayton. I'm an author. I wrote this book. And I tell her my story. Our prison moved, the one we were going to your neck of the woods. And here's the reason for my call. Would you know of anyone in your church, any women who might be interested in prison ministry? And she responded as I expected her to respond. Well, I wouldn't know any about that. I don't know. But we are surveying the church this Sunday to see who might be interested in prison ministry.
Wow. They already had that.
This Sunday, she said.
Wow.
Well, I was speechless. And finally, I found my voice and said, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yes, it is. You need to talk to Steve, one of our pastors. He's involved in men's prison ministry. I said, can you put him on the phone? Well, he wasn't there. He called me the next day. I told him my spiel. And the whole time, he's peppering it with, well, this is exciting. Well, this is exciting. And he said, do you know, a few weeks ago, my wife, who is a retired teacher, said, I would like to lead a Bible study in that unit.
Wow.
And I said, may I speak to your wife?
Yes.
And Darlene got on the phone, and she fast-forward just like 3 months, and we had a leader team of 12 women from both her church and several churches in the area. And that was, I guess, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it is a thriving ministry in West Memphis. And to me, y'all, that's a miracle.
That is. Mm-hmm.
When God reaches down and does something so bizarre, I could have called 1,000 churches and never heard that response.
Yeah, that was clearly and him
at
work.
I made one call that I didn't want to make, by the way.
That is amazing, Linda. That's really great.
That, Amy, is when I finally said, okay, God, maybe you do really care about these women.
Yes.
And maybe I do need to write a prison edition and give it my all.
Well, what you saw as a cold call was a call that God already had warmed up for you.
And, you know, here's the thing, Dan. It didn't sound like God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could make a cold call. You could call 100 churches. Mm-hmm. That didn't sound like God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a thought. Mm-hmm. And turns out it was indeed God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost missed it.
Mm. Wow. Well, I had the opportunity to go visit the prison with you back in December for the last night of Embracing Purpose, and to hear the women share about the impact that this study has had on them. I think I've shared with Dan about this, but I bawled listening to these women and just what it has meant to have other women who love Jesus who will come and spend 11 weeks with them. I remember one woman standing up and saying, "You've invested more time in me than my family ever did." And it just makes you realize that we have such an opportunity to go and share the love of Jesus with these women and to offer hope. I mean, I heard hope in these women.
Yes.
I expected to hear despair. I expected to hear, "I am stuck in these walls." And what I heard was hope, and a lot of that was through the good news that these leaders are bringing in and sharing with these women.
Right.
So it really was so incredible, and that was a large part of us wanting to have you here, is just knowing the impact
that this ministry has. Thanks for coming to share part of your story and just giving us a picture of what God's done through your willingness to write a small study called Embracing Purpose. And just to see the ripple effect of what God's doing with it here in Central Arkansas, outside of Central Arkansas, and in different people's lives around the world.
Thank you for having me. I love talking about Embracing Purpose.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. And ladies, if you're looking for a study for this spring, I want to encourage you to check this out and come be a part of it.
That's right. Thank you for listening to Fellowship Talks. This is another great episode. It really inspired me to know, to hear stories of what God is doing through people. Quietly, sometimes we don't always hear these stories, but to hear what God is doing in a lot of different ways.
That's right.
Yeah. It encourages the church.
It does.
So until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.